JG 1. Number 10B.
We'd be then at the question we saw related to Christ Jesus. I think we see that. Point 5, how is idea related to man? Just some references that really are succinct and really show what man is as idea. How is man described in Christ science as idea? What would be the... what is man? How does she describe man? What would be the one of the big major ones? 2930. Okay. Therefore, on page 2930, we have that man as the offspring of God, as the idea of spirit, is the immortal evidence that spirit is harmonious and man eternal. So, therefore, what does she bring out there? What was it that you could see that was important? Man is the idea of spirit. And as the idea is what? And is the immortal evidence. Gee, isn't that terrific? Man as the offspring of spirit is immortal evidence. Hear it again. Without love unexpressed isn't love. Spirit unexpressed isn't spirit. Man is the, as idea, is the evidence that spirit is harmonious. Without idea of spirit called man, there wouldn't be the evidence or the proof that spirit is harmonious. Okay? So there it shows that man is the idea of God, the idea of spirit, and his idea is the immortal evidence that spirit God is harmonious. Okay? Another one? 303:28. To 30. All right, so on page 303:28, it says, spiritual man is the image or idea of God. Well, that's certainly clear then that man is the idea of God, the image of God. An idea which cannot be lost, oh good, nor separated from its divine principle. Very good. And now we can see, Gita, you mentioned that, huh? Why man cannot be lost. Man is the idea of God, and because man is idea, does that imply then it cannot be lost? You can't. An idea cannot be lost because an idea is an image and an image is a divine hologram and a divine hologram can't be killed or lost. You'd have to lose the original, wouldn't one? God would have to be lost to lose idea. Huh? You see? Mm-hmm. Terrific. Very good. That's an excellent reference. Man's entity spiritual. Good. That's wonderful. Another one?
Glossary.
Good, good, John. That's wonderful, John. That's just what I was hoping you'd do.
What page?
John asked us to look to the glossary, 507:30.
591,
sorry.
591.
Yeah. Oh, he would like us to look on page 591, line 5. That's wonderful, John. And what does it say there that man is?
Compound idea of infinite spirit. There's the image and likeness of God, and it includes the full representation of mind.
Oh, that's wonderful, with a capital M. So John shows us that. That's really one of the pith definitions of man as idea, isn't it, John? John says that, she shows there that man is the compound idea of infinite spirit. And what does that mean, the compound idea, in relationship to earth as a compound idea, John?
The compound idea is the all in all.
Okay, so therefore, the compound idea is the all in all. Good. That the little all reflects the all, huh? Capital all. Right. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That principle and its idea is one. The spiritual image and likeness of God. And that's brought out by saying the full. That's that sense of love, isn't it? The total, the full, the sum total of deity, the all or nothing. Huh, John? The full representation of mind. Not a little representation, but man is the full representation. So we can't get away with saying, well, that's okay. That you have those qualities, but I don't. Or that's your job, but not mine. Can we, John? Each one is a full representation of God. It takes away that sense, well, you represent these qualities of life. You stand for life and I stand for love. Doesn't work here, does it? No. Each one is the compound idea. Each one is a divine hologram. We saw even in the world when they took the a holographic image of a horse and they dropped the plate and picked up just the head, and then they passed the laser beam through it, expecting to see a head, they saw the whole horse. Showing therefore that, you know, that's a big point of holography, is that the part reflects the whole. And that's what it shows here, that man is the compound idea. That man is the whole of God, not a part. Each man reflects all the qualities of God, all the qualities of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love in its infinite calculus in a unique way. Do we know that every day in our life experience? Or are we just reading it and saying, I know that? Are we aware of that every moment, that we are the full representation of God in everything we do? Or do sometimes we get down on ourselves and feel that, well, maybe we're not any good, or we don't have this, or we don't have that, and we want this, and we want that? See, this is life experiences. What is reality and how do I become one with it? This is asking us not to just read the definition, but to be the definition in operation. It's a life attitude. It's a way of life. To be the full representation of God. Gee, so often we hear how we run ourselves down, or we run others down. I'm the full representation, but they sure aren't. They lack this and they lack that, and they should be like this and they should be like that, and they're not this and they're not that. Where our responsibility is to give, claim, and accept for ourselves that we are the full representation of God, and to give, claim, and accept that all others are the full representation of God. That's true Christianity. We're so critical, not only of ourselves, but everyone else. Everyone else is no good. We're fine, but the other just doesn't add up to being a full representation of God, and I'll tell you just what's wrong with them. Huh? Where that wasn't Jesus. Jesus had that consciousness of love, and Mrs. Eddy said she healed by love, 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 and love, and love, and love. By being the by seeing everyone as the Son of God, as a full representation of God, in spite of the mortal. That's really being Christian, and we call ourselves Christians. I can remember when Max had us go over the verbatim report for the Gospel of John by John Dorley. Do you remember how Dorley says in there that it is of no use to study the Gospel of John unless we have that attitude of love, that we love every idea in our universe called man in spite of what looks like inadequacies, and it's that love that heals. And he says, and you'll make your enemies your friend. That's our responsibility, is not to... Well, I mean, being critical is the opposite, is the opposite of life, and that's death. One might as well shoot him. Really, criticism is deadly. I mean, when somebody hears criticism on oneself, do you think they feel good about it?
think you might consider tying, going back to question 4.
Yeah, okay.
Getting back to question 5. You'll see on the previous page of 589.
Yes, okay.
The glossary of Jesus.
Okay, John, now, I just want to follow what you're saying now. What are you asking us to go to which
page? You see, if you go back to question
4. How is this idea related to Christ Jesus?
And then 5, how is it related to man?
Yeah.
And you tie them both together. If you go back to 589 and see the glossary definition of Jesus.
All right, John would like us to compare question 4 with 5.
Yes.
And see then if how is the idea related to Christ Jesus, how is the idea related to man, and then John, if we do that, what was the outcome?
On 589.
Yeah. Jesus on page 589, 16. Jesus was the highest human corporeal concept of the divine idea.
Continue. Reducing and destroying error and bringing to light man's immortality. Then go right back over to question 5 on 591.
Okay, John wants us to see that Jesus is the highest human corporeal concept of the divine idea. The highest concept of the divine idea as we know it now, huh? Rebuking and destroying error and bringing to light man's immortality, and then read the definition of man as what? The full representation of mind? Yeah, that's good. That Jesus beheld in science the full representation of mind. And what did that do, John?
Let you know who you are.
Yeah, and it healed, didn't it? Yeah, it healed the situation. He came not to judge but to save. We shouldn't be out judging critically a situation, Jesus said. We should be out saving. That's the Christ. How can I help the situation, not how can I destroy it through criticism? That's not easy, is it? I don't find it easy. If something is done against one, it's not that easy to always behold in science the perfect man, because those qualities of self-justification come in, of the first degree. This person is doing such and such, therefore they are such and such, and I'm justified for saying it. Where Jesus would turn away from the sinning mortal man and see that as the Son of God, and by seeing that, that situation touched the Infinite One, that in reality it would identify that situation with God, and as a full representative of God, seeing that that man is the idea of the Infinite One. It has all the power and intelligence of the Infinite One, all the nature of the Infinite One, all the identity of the Infinite One, all the operation of the Infinite One, all the life of the Infinite One, all the form of the Infinite One, all the fulfillment of the Infinite One, and that idea is loved by God, and if God loves that idea, I love that idea. Because that idea has a place in being. I love that idea. I love its mission. I love what it's trying to do. I love what all the struggles it goes through. I see what it's trying to do for the family, for mankind, for all that. And I love it. I want to support it. I don't want to kill it through criticism. You see? Do we do it?
No.
I don't. Oh. Not always. I certainly am trying. Every day, especially this year, more than anything, have tried to practice that family law. Right where one feels justified for rebuke, to turn away and say, no, I came not to judge but to save, not only in myself, when I am critical of myself, but of others. And gee, I found it not easy. And yet, the working at it and working at it and working at it finally gives one a mentality of love. And oh, is one ever compensated for it like that? You just are so happy. You live in a good universe. I can remember Max Kapler saying on one of his tapes, I live in a good universe. You can have a bad one, but I'll take the good one. It's so true. And you, in love being the full compensation, you're just overjoyed It's so much better to have a friend in God than an enemy. Boy, one learns that. Okay. Yes.
On that fractal that you put up days ago or so, the Mandelbrot set, that thing that looks like a bug.
Yes.
Focused in on a certain part.
Yes.
Like a sea horse.
Yes.
But if you keep going in and focusing in, going in further, and just take a little piece going in, sooner or later you run into that Mandelbrot set again.
Yes.
And you keep going in and further.
Yes.
In that
Mandelbrot set. It's terrific, isn't it? Yes.
So it's as if what we're talking
yes.
about here, we start to see God and we start to image or something.
Yes.
And maybe it really catches our eye and we start to focus all on that. We kind of forget God for a while.
Uh-huh.
But then, and maybe we get sidetracked and, we live in a bad world or something. And then suddenly there's that little reminder, hey, God's still around here. Even though we're seeing, the illusion, it doesn't have an entity of itself. It didn't come from someplace else. It came from God. There's that little reminder to us.
Yeah.
Get back on track.
That's good, Chris. Oh, gee. I'll bring that slide back that we saw the first image of the fractal of the Mandelbrot set, where it is really a phenomenon, the fractal of self-similarity, where a form keeps eventually repeating itself and repeating itself and repeating itself and repeating itself. And as Chris said, if you keep looking at a fractal, you see itself, and then you see itself again, and then you see itself again, and you see itself again. Wonderful example to say that when we look out into the universe, we should be seeing God, and then seeing God, and then seeing God in man as a full representation of mind. That's so good. That's life experience. This is every day. That's wonderful. Okay? Then let's go on to the next point. What is expressed by God in its idea? Point six. A reference then that Mrs. Eddy says about God and its idea.
Page 103, line 16, or line 15.
All right. Michael says for us to look on page 103, line 15, and it will talk to us about what is expressed by the concept God in its idea. She says, the maximum of good is the infinite God in his idea, the all in all. Good, Michael. So therefore, what is expressed by the term God in idea?
The all in all.
Yeah, the all in all and the maximum of good, huh? And what is the key point of the animal magnetism chapter of which this is in, Michael? What's the key point of that chapter?
That animal magnetism is unmasked.
Yeah, and it's unmasked because of?
The all in all.
And because it's the maximum of good is God in its idea. You just hit the main point of the animal magnetism chapter. The main point of the animal magnetism chapter is that the Christ idea, God, because that's what God represents in the animal magnetism chapter, is the Christ idea. And that operates as the maximum of good is God in its idea. So that Christ idea in its translation and retranslation is operating for the maximum of good. We don't always know that either in life experience, do we? We're quite convinced when we feel the retranslation and go through the phase translation that there's good and evil. And therefore we always say when something comes up in our life, when we're going through the wilderness period or the chaos period or the uncertainty period, now where did I go wrong? What was I thinking that made all this happen? Or we'll say, oh, I was thinking all these wonderful things and now look at all this evil that is going on in my life. Is animal magnetism unmasked in our consciousness when we say that? No. Why? Because we're not aware that the maximum of good is the God in its idea. That the maximum of good, the Christ in its idea, is working for the maximum of good, bringing out the highest order possible through its translation and retranslation. So what we call evil is just good misunderstood. It's that faced with, it's calling good, it's what we call evil is good appearing at the phase translation at the point of chaos, taking us from one order into the higher order. And that chaotic period we call evil, but even in chaos theory today, as we well know now, is that chaotic period is bringing out a higher order of things. That chaos, that there's order behind chaos. That's Ilya Prigozhin's big point. Order out of chaos. But not just order, a higher order out of chaos.
And Christine, to look up the definition for good.
Yes, good. Okay, do you want to look up the definition for good?
I can't read that.
Oh, it's okay, but we will, huh?
Yeah.
All right, in the glossary, Dick? Dick would like us to look up the definition for good in the glossary.
Joe?
Yes.
That idea of chaos and order.
Yeah.
Chaos is really kind of order unseen.
Yes.
Was it Michelangelo who said, here's a piece of granite or something, and then the statue or something is in there already. I'm just bringing it out.
Yeah, absolutely. He could see this big featureless form, which to us would be chaos as an artist, and he says that it's already there and I'm bringing it out. Huh? He just saw that whole good form already was in the stone. All right, good is on page 587 in the glossary. And so Dick says, all right, if we see that God is operating as a maximum of good, what does good mean? On page, we see then that good is God. Well, it just takes it right back to the fact that the maximum of good is God. Well, she says, that's right. Good is God, Spirit. And it's omnipotent, omniscience, omnipresent, and omniaction. So that good is a self-operating, is that, so what is operating as the maximum of good is omnipotent Word, the omniscient Christ, the omnipresent love, and the omniaction of science. So what is operating as the maximum of good is the divine cybernetics. That principle God is bringing out our divine plan and the maximum of good, because it is a self-organizing, self-operating system of input, process, output, feedback, which is error, preventing, error, correcting. That certainly is the maximum of good, isn't it? That's a level of good, isn't it? It's not just goody good. What is good is, the maximum of good is that it's bringing out in our life what we are as idea, as a whole structure of being, as a structure of being in operation. It's bringing out man as the full representation of God. And man is a full representation of God, is that man is that divine infinite calculus. And that's what St. John saw that Jesus was. That he was the full representation of the divine infinite calculus. That's good. And that's the maximum good that's being brought out. And finally, Dick, when we go through that translation and retranslation through the textbook, it finally, at the apocalypse, shows and that we have reached that maximum of good, haven't we? Because there it says, ye are the city. Ye are the city in operation. That's the maximum of good. That's wonderful what you've brought out. You see what Dick asked us to do. Don't just leave it as good, as an undefined concept, but let's define good. And when we define good, we see that it means the whole model of being in operation. And therefore, what is good is being brought out is that we all... It's bringing out each individual expression as the model of being in operation. And that's what, that is the goal. That is the vision of St. John. Isn't that terrific? Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you. All right. So let's go on to point 7. What is expressed by mind in its idea? Any special reference you'd like there for mind in its idea?
Well, you might try, we might try 5083.
5083? Mm-hmm. Okay. So we turn to page 5083.
I'll make a correction, 5082.
5082. Okay. Dave would like us to read 5082. We're wanting to know what is expressed by mind in its idea. There it says, but the seed is in itself, but only as a divine mind is all and reproduces all. As mind is a multiplier and mind's infinite idea, man and the universe is the product. That's nice. Okay, well, so what is being brought out by mind and its idea? Then Dave says, therefore we should see that, but the seed is in itself. Okay, that's that self-similarity, that self-reproduction of soul. And only as the divine mind is capital all and reproduces little all, as mind is the multiplier and mind's infinite idea, man in the universe is the product. So somehow it's bringing out that that fractalization, that self-similarity that goes on and on and on. That's certainly what Chris was bringing out, that those fractals show, and soul shows that the seed is within itself and it is always reproducing itself through that operation of the Christ idea. So what is being brought out here is what is expressed by mind in its idea is that the divine mind is reproducing its idea, huh? Over and over and over and over again. Is that
because it man in the universe is the product.
Yeah, sure.
That's brought out.
Sure, and that what it's reproducing is man in the universe, huh? Over and over, showing that that is always reproducing itself, and as we'll see, in ever new forms. Good. Okay.
259.
Which one?
259.
All right, we go to page 259.
It's on line 4.
Page 259, line 4.